Close. Written by Niraj Sikki. Read by Opal Song. Fandom Mo Dao Zushi, or The Untamed. Rating, teen. Category, gen. Also tagged for body swap and sentient sabers. Summary. Niaming Tui and Basia have always been close. Maybe a little too close. Niaming Tui watched as his body leaped to the side, avoiding the beast's charge. The movements were a little shaky, he thought, and Basia sent some frustration back that he thought might roughly translate to, "Listen, it's a new body I'm trying here," if she were capable of speech. And then spinning around, leaping up, and then bringing him, Niaming Tui the Saber, that is, down on the beast. Chapter 1. There were a lot of rules about the saber spirits, but the most important one was always, you control the saber, do not let it control you. The line between being a hero and being a monster was a very thin one, easy to overstep, with the horrible temper that was as much an ancestral inheritance as their cultivation style. It was all too easy for members of their family to become corrupted. Cultivating the saber spirit gave them power, but it also inspired rage. It would be all too easy to start making excuses for your conduct, to become corrupted by your own desires, to say, "Oh, it's his fault. He made me angry." Or, "He shouldn't have gotten in my way." When what you meant was, "I decided he didn't matter." That was unacceptable. If people didn't matter, then nothing mattered. And all the sacrifices that had ever been made in the name of upholding justice and righteousness, using violence for good, were for nothing. Control and principle, those were the foundations of Nie cultivation. The saber spirits heightened the tension of it, the balance between power and responsibility, between blind rage and principled justice. Each saber spirit belonged to a single master, reflecting the quirks of their personality. But at the most base level, they were all the same, simple and straightforward. They wanted to destroy evil. All evil. Without exception, without mercy or nuance or anything. That's why it was the job of the saber's master to keep them in check. A saber spirit would make no distinction between a lost ghost draining a little young energy to preserve its own life, or a fierce corpse murdering people left and right. Between a Yao that took the energy of the sun and moon and a Yao that fed on corpses. Between a small child stealing bread to feed their family, or a criminal stealing in through the window to commit a rape, only a human could make those sorts of decisions. Or so Niaming Tui had always been taught. "I don't know," he whispered, late at night, Basia lying on the bed next to him instead of properly in her case where she belonged. "I think you could probably learn to tell the difference if you wanted." Basia purred in his mind, temporarily calm and sated. He'd gone night hunting the day before, accompanying his father. And he'd been the one to take down the creature, a maddened Yao that had once been a boar, and which had recently taken to ripping people to pieces with its tusks. His father had been very proud. He'd ruffled Nia Mingchui's hair as if he were still a child. He wasn't. He was 10. Even little Nie Huaisang was walking now, and called him his prodigy, ignoring the way the other Nie cultivators on the night hunt frowned. They always frowned. Nie Mingchui wasn't supposed to get his saber until he was 12. Beyond that, it was all practice sabers, heavy wood to help strengthen his arms and shoulders, and eventually dead steel, to learn to finesse and how not to cut your own head off. And only once you'd shown sufficient skill in those could you finally get a spiritual weapon of your very own. Nie Mingchui picked up Baxia for the first time when he was 8. There'd been fighting, an incursion into the unclean realm by assassins, some small sect, probably egged on by Wen Rohan, in a way that could never be traced to him. But anyway, they were all dead now. And when he'd heard the screaming, it hadn't even occurred to him not to help. Suppress evil, no matter where it lives, uphold justice, no matter what it takes. He'd only been a child, his brother newborn, but there had been children screaming, children his own age, confronting fully grown cultivators. And that hadn't been fair at all. Nie Mingchui had sprinted to the armory, hoping to find something, anything he could use, even just one of his practice sabers. And that was the first time he'd seen her. Baxia. Though she hadn't been Baxia back then, had only been half-forged then, enough spiritual weapon to channel his chi, but not enough to really respond to his commands. That was fine. He didn't know the techniques to wield her properly back then anyway. The basics were good enough against cultivators who never expected that the young child heir of the Nie family would be able to lift a sword longer than he was tall, much less wield it. He'd aimed low at first, going for tender ankles and vulnerable knees, and then, when they'd tried to leap up against him, he brought his saber up against them, aiming for their bodies. There was a lot of blood. Nie Mingchui was descended from a butcher. His father had been taking him to see animals get hacked up for their kitchens since before he'd started walking. A way to inure him to blood and guts and gore, to animal screams that weren't so different from the screams of the battlefield. It was still strange, seeing blood on the floor, blood on his blade, to see the light fade out of a man's eyes and know he made that happen. That his soul would be irrevocably marked with the stain of having taken a life. As a reward, Nie Mingchui's father had ordered that Nie Mingchui could take up his saber early, even if he couldn't officially claim her with all due ceremony until he got to the right age. A lot of people in the sect didn't agree with that decision. Even now, 2 years later, they still frowned whenever Nie Mingchui did something with her now, muttering warnings about how children couldn't be trusted to control themselves, how the saber spirits were unpredictable, how a cultivator's life might already be cut short, and how there was no need to cut a childhood short as well. Nie Mingchui's father ignored them. Nie Mingchui ignored them too. He liked Baxia, and he thought, maybe, that she liked him too. No one had ever told him he shouldn't have been able to tell. The first time they switch, it's to save his life. It wasn't the first time they'd gotten closer than they should. Nie Mingchui had figured out if he channeled not only his chi energy, but vital energy into Baxia, circulating it through her as if she were an extension of his meridians, they would fight better. She would be light in his hand, anticipating his movements, putting her force behind his blows alongside his own. He'd even noticed that he could almost see things differently. Flickers of pulsing chi in cultivators, ghostly flame in corpses. And he thought it might be that he was seeing things the way she saw things. If a saber spirit could be said to see. He'd done it more and more, only for one of his teachers to notice and scold him fiercely. Allowing something into his vital chi was opening himself up to possession. It might help his cultivation in the short term, an emergency measure, but in the end, the saber spirit would turn on him, devour him. After all, who was truly free from evil? At first, Nia Mingtwe tried to be good, to stop, but Bastia all but sulked at him, his swings dragging a little more than could be blamed on air resistance, a feeling of dissatisfaction and unhappiness, even when he killed some fierce corpses for her, randomly waking him in the middle of the night with fake alarms, because his saber figured out long ago that he hated that. And eventually he just gave it up. Every Nie saber was different, after all. Like all spiritual weapons, they reflected their master. Maybe he and Bastia were just different? And if it made it just a little easier to keep an eye on little Nie Huaisang, who'd been an absolute menace ever since he learned what crawling was, and only worse now that he was walking, always going straight to the most dangerous places possible, well, that was just an additional perk. How people ever took care of children without having a second pair of eyes, Nie Mingtwe had no idea. And then they were at a night hunt, fighting something especially big and bad and vicious to the extreme. And all of a sudden, Nie Mingtwe felt something that reminded him of Sect Leader Wen, of the slick, nauseating feel of his cultivation in the air around them, and his father's saber shattered. Everyone panicked, shouting, and the beast roared, seeing its chance, and it jumped forward, goring Nie Mingtwe's father, still stunned, in the belly and knocking him down, and then rushing towards Nie Mingtwe himself, who was frozen in horror. The next thing he knew, he wasn't. He wasn't knowing anymore, or at least not the way he had before. Everything around him was chi, and chi was in everything. Different colors, textures, flavors? That showed him the difference between a living person and the dead, between plants and animals and the dirt beneath them, and even the subtle gradations inside the three souls and seven spirits, the way the chi flame varied in color, the lightness of the soul slowly corrupted with rot, with evil. It was vile. Nie Mingtwe watched as his body leaped to the side, avoiding the beast's charge. The movements were a little jerky, he thought, and Bastia sent some frustration back that he thought might roughly translate to, "Listen, it's a new body, and I'm trying here," if she were capable of speech. And then spinning around, leaping up, and then bringing him, Nie Mingtwe, the saber, down on the beast. There was an encouraging sort of feeling from Bastia. Go on, do the thing, you can do it. And somewhere along the way down, aided by the force of muscle and gravity, Nie Mingtwe figured out that he was supposed to bite down, the sharp end of him all a single tooth, sharp and vicious. And he grabbed onto the beast's chi with all his might, tearing at it furiously, venting his rage. A few more swipes with the blade and the beast died. Nie Mingtwe drinking in its vital energy as if it were water, as the creature's souls and spirits scattered. He even purified the ones he could reach, making sure that nothing would remain behind, rotting and infecting the world with its madness and evil. It felt good to see that evil disintegrate into the wind, to know it would never hurt anyone again. Good. He wanted more. There was a tug on his mind, Bastia calling him back, as if he risked going too far, and habit kicked in. He turned in response to her call, trying to come to her side or have her come to his, and suddenly the world went off kilter again and he was standing up on two legs. He had legs? And the beast was dead in front of him, stinking of blood and bile. He was human again. Nie Mingtwe dropped his saber, staggered to the side of a tree, and vomited. Bastia returned to her place on his back, a quiet vibration that conveyed no feeling, only a reminder of her presence. He didn't know what to say to her, what to think, what anything. The old sect leader had been right about leaving yourself open to possession. Luckily, no one in the clan had noticed the lapse. The other Nie cultivators, who had been on the hunt with them, both young and old, applauded Nie Ming Chui for the steadiness of his nerves. A lie. And one of the elders even commented that it seemed as though his cultivation had increased substantially. It had, too. But what was Nie Ming Chui supposed to say? That he'd literally eaten another creature's cultivation, drinking its blood and gnawing on its bones until his spirit has become swollen with power? That he'd enjoyed it? He had 3 days to wonder and worry about it, trying to think about how to handle it. And then his father opened his eyes, for the first time after the coma from the wound inflicted from the beast. Eyes full of madness and fury aimed at every living being around him. And then he had other things to worry about. After he became sect leader, Nie Ming Chui spent a great deal of time telling his saber that he couldn't just stab Wen Rohan across the table of a discussion conference. In his head, of course. Nie cultivators were known to be close to their sabers, even closer than most cultivators of other sects were with their beloved swords. But it would still be seen as strange to actually talk to your sword as if it could respond. Batya couldn't talk back, of course. She was still a sword in the end, incapable of human speech. But that never kept her from talking back, albeit in her own way. She liked to highlight parts of Wen Rohan's body that would make for good cutting. Nie Ming Tui's eyesight had never quite returned to normal since that first full switch, and he could always see a very faint ghostly overlay of chi on all living creatures around him, especially cultivators, and send encouraging feelings to him, like a mother cat nudging her kitten towards its first mouse. And Nie Ming Tui would press his lips together and not smile, because that would be weird. It was one of the only things that made the discussion conferences, sitting across the table from his father's murderer, bearable. Nie Ming Chui was perfectly aware that if anyone, even those in his own sect, ever found out about his unusual relationship with his saber, they would condemn him as unorthodox, possibly even crossing the line into demonic cultivation, even though he had never touched resentful energy for his own use. Never summoned ghosts or demons, nothing of that sort. But he couldn't stop. Even if he wanted to, and he didn't really want to, there was going to be a war soon, and his sect was depending on him. His brother needed him. And he needed Batya. After the first time, it had gotten easier than ever to slip sideways into her, to let her be the man and him the sword. Nie Ming Chui was, if he did say so himself, a very good saber. Batya laughing in agreement at that thought. And it was so freeing to be nothing but a weapon, to have no concerns but wanting to kill and kill and kill. Naturally, that was why he couldn't permit himself to do it too often. Connecting with Batya was no longer something he had to try to do, as it had been when he was younger. But rather the opposite. He would have to try very hard to try to seal the connection between them. Something he only did when he was extremely upset about something. And even then, he wasn't sure the link ever closed down all the way. She was an extension of his body, a part of him. His vital chi poured into her, unreserved. And when he cultivated, her cultivation increased apace as well. Her saber spirit strengthening to new heights of power. What helped him helped her, and what helped her helped him. It could, almost embarrassingly, be considered a form of dual cultivation. It never felt wrong. Nie Ming Chui prided himself on his adherence to principle, to ethics. He knew people said he was too strict, too harsh, even unmerciful. But there was forged steel in his soul now, unyielding, and every year that passed, he found his tolerance for evil grew less and less. Evil in the world, and evil in mankind. He knew there was evil in himself as well. He never deceived himself on that front. If Bashia were free to do as she pleased, to massacre all evil as she wanted, he would be one of her targets, no matter how she grumbled whenever he thought that. Virtue could be as corrupting as vice. He wasn't any better than the people he condemned. The only thing he could say for himself is that he always tried to do the right thing. He never tried to take action solely for his own benefit, to lift his saber only in the defense of a just cause, to do what he must and go no further. Accepting only, perhaps, for Bashia. But as long as he controlled it, as long as he turned her only against evil, then surely it was still within the boundaries of the limits his ancestors had laid out, that strange cultivation style of the saber spirits. Well, mostly against evil. If, perhaps, during an especially boring discussion conference where his only job was to look fierce and disapproving, he let himself drift a little, and someone else, equally good at fierce and disapproving, if not actively better than him, take his place. If sometimes when he slept, he let her go for a walk to stretch out legs she didn't have and play around with the feeling of having thumbs. If occasionally she would coax him into letting her be the one to sharpen him rather than the other way around so that he could feel exactly how it ought to be done. That didn't seem too wrong. The ability to detect evil in the souls of men did not actually mean that Bashia was good at understanding people. On the contrary, in fact, in many ways, she was very much a typical saber, wanting only to destroy, and it had taken years of explanations before she reluctantly applied some human standards to her perceptions of what constituted evil. Sometimes Nie Mingtwe agreed with her. Jing Guangshan was a pathetic waste of a man, a worthless good-for-nothing, no matter how decent his cultivation was. And sometimes he couldn't even begin to understand her perspective. Jiang Fengmian was lukewarm about everything, which was irritating beyond belief. But Bashia wanted his head on a pike yesterday, and sulked when he told her that, absent a very good reason, she was not going to get what she wanted. She babied Nie Huaisang the same way he did, and bullied his saber into being obedient to him. Very much not how that was supposed to go, but Nie Mingtwe had always been weak where his baby brother was concerned. But she viewed most of the world with intense suspicion and not a little bit of rage. She didn't like Meng Yao. It was a bit like Jiang Fengmian, actually. There was no reason that Nie Mingtwe could think of. And even shifting into a spirit to study the other man didn't reveal anything other than the usual evil one would expect to see in any person. And it wasn't as though Bashia could tell him. She just hated what she hated, and no matter how much Nie Mingtwe pointed out Meng Yao's good acts, his defense of the common folk, his merits on the battlefield, she never gave in. Still, good help was hard to find, and Meng Yao had never done anything that didn't fit well with Nie Mingtwe's standards. If there was something wrong with him, deep down, did it really matter as long as it never showed its face? Nie Mingtwe tried to keep his distance emotionally, but it was hard. Meng Yao seemed, on the surface, to be a good man, efficient and capable. He was intelligent and well-spoken, creative and stubborn, talented to the point of brilliance. Nie Mingtwe didn't have many friends, and Meng Yao was there. Even Lan Xichen, who he trusted, and Bashia agreed, even if she thought Shouyue was a bit of a priss, liked him. The conversation between the three of them flowed easily, pleasantly, and Nie Mingtwe almost felt as though he were something other than the leader of a sect at war, as though he were a regular cultivator chatting with his generational cohort about all manner of things. Bashya howled in the back of his head, wanting to rend Meng Yao limb from limb. He ignored her. In the end, she was right and he was wrong. The evil buried deep in Meng Yao's soul could not be denied. His betrayal at Langya, premeditated murder and then a personal attack, his decision to change his colors and join the Wen sect, his murder of helpless Nie sect cultivators, the cool manner by which he traded his war glory to the Jin sect for a place and a name that only shone gold to the outside world. It was a disappointment. Nie Mingtui should have trusted Bashya. He agreed to swear brotherhood to the man because Lan Zichen wanted it, because he still hoped against hope that he could purify the evil in Meng Yao's heart the way he did the evil of ghosts, could bring back the friend he'd once thought he had. But it was still a disappointment. Maybe that was what gave him pause during the competition at Phoenix Mountain. He'd only met Wei Wuxian in passing before, never spent much time with him, and even less once he'd become the fearsome Yilin patriarch that wielded demonic cultivation as a scythe against their mutual enemies. He'd expected to have to talk Bashya down from trying to kill him. After all, according to the stories, Wei Wuxian stank of resentful energy, having pulled it inside himself until it tainted every inch of him. It followed him like a cloak of power and cruelty. The reality was different. Him? Nie Mingtui thought at Bashya, mildly appalled. You like him? Really? Bashya purred, pleased. This I have to see. He usually tried not to let Bashya take over in front of his fellow sect leaders, who were by now all very well trained at spotting abnormalities of even the slightest sort, but the curiosity was killing him. In the eyes of a saber, Wei Wuxian was a man. Just that. Nothing more. He had some virtues and some faults, good and evil mixed together in no greater or lesser proportion than Meng Yao. And while he was surrounded by resentful energy, was shot through with it, it did not infect his soul or spirit with rot any more than anyone else. It passed through him like any other type of chi energy did, the ghostly flame sliding through his meridians as though he were on the verge of becoming a demon himself, and yet not absorbed within, not kept. He used only what he pulled at any given time, letting the power run through his fingers like water, and never stored it inside. He lacked a golden core. No wonder he couldn't store any power. Even if he wanted to, he couldn't. The taint injuring him as it flowed through his system without purification. It was as if he were drinking alcohol while lacking a liver. But at the same time, he lacked the ability to build it up inside of him. Nie Mingtui wondered what had happened. He waited until later, after a number of embarrassing incidents, mostly involving Jin Zixuan's confession of affection to Jiang Yanli, a love affair which Nie Mingtui had absolutely no interest in, but which made Nie Huaisang roll around on his bed, clutching his fan to his chest and sighing dreamily. And then he went to where the Jiang sect was housed and asked to speak with Wei Wuxian. "You know, it's quite late, sect leader Nie," Wei Wuxian drawled, his arms crossed in front of him defensively, "and I'm not any more inclined to give up the Stygian tiger seal because of the hour."
"What?" Nie Mingtui asked, bewildered, and then, "Oh, that. It's a vile thing and ought to be destroyed, but that's on your conscience. If you misuse it, I'll turn my blade against you. If you lose it to someone else, I'll drink at your funeral. Other than that, it's no business of mine."
"Oh," Wei Wuxian said, his arms loosening. "Sorry, I assumed you came to speak with me and not Jiang Cheng."
"I've been speaking with sect leader Jiang all day. Nieming-Tui said, impatient. About everything from matters of principle to fishing rights in small rivers that only three people know exist. And we're scheduled to do it again tomorrow. Why would I bother him after hours? Wei Wuxian laughed, then looked surprised at himself and coughed to cover it up. He stepped out of the doorway to let Nieming-Tui inside. All very good points. So it is me you want to talk to. What about? If it's not the Stygian tiger seal, my cultivation, perhaps?
In a way, Nieming-Tui said. I should warn you in advance that you may find my questions rude.
Wei Wuxian waved that away and turned to fetch them some jars of wine. I don't care about rudeness, as long as your question isn't, why do you still do it?
Why would I ask that? It's always better to be a cultivator, however unorthodox, than not at all.
Wei Wuxian stopped moving, after having picked up only one jar, his hands still outstretched towards the second one. Now, that's an odd way to phrase it, he said, and his voice was low and sounded dangerous. But Basia didn't so much as quiver, so Nieming-Tui knew there was no real threat of a fight. Second young Master Lan spends a great deal of his time imploring me to resume orthodox cultivation. I would have thought you'd be of the same opinion.
But orthodox cultivation is impossible without a golden core,
Nieming-Tui said, puzzled as to why Wei Wuxian would care about what Lan Wangji thought enough to mention him. Or, for that matter, why Lan Wangji apparently spent all his time pestering Wei Wuxian in an effort to make him mend his ways. Wei Wuxian dropped the jar in his hand with a deafening crash. Wei Wuxian sent Nieming-Tui a letter after he'd settled down in Yilin. In it, he very politely, the man knew what politeness was, apologized for the disturbance he had caused, explained that the Wen sect remnants were composed entirely of old men and women and a child, and only two young people, one of which was now the Ghost General, that had helped him before, on the occasion which they had once had the opportunity to discuss, and so there was a life debt between them. He stated that if Nieming-Tui wished to visit and review the situation himself, he would gladly open his gates to one who did not seem prejudiced against him, who might judge the situation fairly. He requested, very humbly, that if Nieming-Tui wouldn't mind considering lending his voice to the Jiang sect, which was even now negotiating a marriage with the Jin sect, and which had undoubtedly been put in a very bad position as a result of his apparently inexplicable actions, which he could not explain given the events of the occasion previously discussed. Nieming-Tui snorted at the earnestness, presented as slickly as any diplomat. Wei Wuxian had clearly been trained by the Jiang sect to be their ambassador, and sometimes the training even managed to overcome his extremely irritating personality, and took Nie Huaisang with him when he went. A gesture of good faith. It turned out to be necessary, since Baxia took one look at Wen Ying and all but begged to chase him around, promising not to hurt him, but please, oh please! Nie Huaisang smacked Nieming-Tui in the face with his fan, which had never happened before, and Nieming-Tui snapped out of the daze he was in, and recalled Baxia to his hand at once, his face coloring in embarrassment.
Forgive me, he said to Wei Wuxian, voice stiff.
He couldn't believe he'd just done that.
I meant no offense to either you or Wen Qionglin.
Wei Wuxian's extremely angry expression abruptly vanished off his face, leaving behind only confusion. You know his courtesy name?
Nieming-Tui frowned. I wasn't aware that my reputation indicated an inability to utilize common courtesy.
Most people just call him the Ghost General nowadays. Nieming-Tui didn't know what to say to that apparent non-sequitur. Who cared what other people did? And looked to Nie Huaisang to see if he had a better response. Nie Huaisang shrugged. I thought you said he was conscious, Wei Xiang. If he is, then he's a person. And if he's a person, he has a name. It'd be as rude as me calling Baxia that old stick. That was, in fact, something Nie Huaisang had done once when he'd been a teenager and angry about having to go to the Wen sect's camp. In fairness, Nie Mingtui hadn't exactly been pleased about that either. And Basia had chased him up and down the hallway, smacking his ass to make him jump every time she caught him, until he was out of breath and apologizing and also laughing more than a little. Nie Mingtui put his hand on his brother's shoulder.
He doesn't have that much of a death wish.
Wei Wuxian laughed. I keep forgetting you have a sense of humor under that scowl. Would you like to come inside? I don't have much here, but we can talk about whatever you need to give yourself comfort that the Wen sect remnants aren't going to hurt anyone.
It's not necessarily a matter of future harm, Nie Mingtui said. There is also the past.
They're non-combatants.
Wen Qing ran a supervisory office.
Wei Wuxian winced. It's something we can talk over, Nie Huaisong said. She might need to submit to a trial or something, but I don't think death is necessarily the only outcome. Maybe something in which she uses her abilities in service to the community?
She'd be happy to, if anyone would allow it, Wei Wuxian said wryly. Oddly enough, not too many cultivators are willing to allow someone surnamed Wen to examine them.
We can set a good example, Nie Huaisong chirped. My brother and I. Why not? Maybe she can explain why he acted so uncharacteristically earlier.
Nie Mingtui sighed. If there was one lesson, he'd never managed to get into Nie Huaisong's head. There were many, actually. It was that family laundry shouldn't be spread out in front of others.
He couldn't have waited to raise it until they'd left?
Wei Wuxian blinked at both of them.
You'll have to forgive me, Nie Xiong. I'm not familiar with your brother. What was uncharacteristic?
He let Basia do as she liked instead of stopping her,
Nie Huaisong said promptly. It was impulsive, and normally he would never be that rude.
And you think it's a medical issue? Nie Mingtui asked, doubtful.
More likely, all those years of jointly possessing his own body with Basia was starting to need paying for.
Huaisong,
it's worth checking. Wen Qing didn't find anything other than some disturbed qi, which could be the result of just about anything, and Nie Mingtui told Nie Huaisong to drop the issue in a tone that brooked no dispute. Still, since it was clearly worrying his brother, there wouldn't be any harm in asking Meng Yao. No, Jing Guang Yao. He was Jing Guang Yao now. To come over and play clarity for him a little more often. They could talk about Jing Guang Yao's frankly unseemly attempts to weasel the Stygian tiger seal out of Wei Wuxian at the same time. Based on everything he'd heard from Wei Wuxian, including the man's willingness to destroy at least half of it as a gesture of good faith, there was really no basis to claim that it ought to be confiscated from him. And with the Nie sect standing alongside the Jiang sect, the Jin sect would have no chance to use this as an opportunity to rally the cultivation world against Wei Wuxian and use the excuse to extract the seal for their own unknown purposes. The whole situation would probably irritate Jing Guangshan immensely, even if only as proof that he was not, in fact, the obvious successor to the Wens in terms of dominating the cultivation world. Chief Cultivator. Ha! If one had to be selected, and Nie Mingtui was against the whole idea, then it wouldn't be Jing Guangshan. It shouldn't be anyone from the Jin sect. Every time he visited Lanling, Basia shook on his shoulder and he agreed with her anger. The entire place was shot through with corruption, festering in evil, ambition and greed the only virtues they recognized, allowing them to sit, fat and comfortable, at the top of the cultivation world for no reason other than their ambition and their wealth. The fact that they'd hung back and let others do the majority of the fighting, and so didn't need to waste money in rebuilding. It was unacceptable. He'd have to make that clear to Jing Guangyao somehow. He hoped his sworn brother wouldn't be too disappointed.
Severe chi deviations were said to be horrifically painful, with every vein in your body bursting, every meridian cracking, your blood boiling, your bones breaking as your chi reversed course and began destroying you from the inside. Whoever said that was right. Nieming Tui felt his mouth fill with blood, his eyes dripping with them, and he saw Jing Guangyao everywhere around him, laughing at him. Meng Yao mocking his weakness and trusting him over his own instincts, over Ba Xia. He tried to lash out against him, only for him to disappear in front of his eyes, reappearing elsewhere. And he wanted nothing more than to kill, to stop him before he hurt anyone else, before he laid a finger on Nie Huaisang, before he deceived Lan Zichen, before he had to kill him. He had to... There was so much pain. Pain and rage, fear and fury. It was like a tide that rose up, inexorable, to swallow him. He screamed, and everything stopped. There was no pain. Steel did not feel pain. Nieming Tui was a saber once more, his chi still sick and pounding inside of him, going the wrong way, his rage still overwhelming him. But for a saber, that was all right. It was all right not to know anything but rage and fury and the desire to kill. You control the saber. It doesn't control you. As long as his master held him back, he wouldn't be able to hurt anyone he shouldn't. He himself would not be hurt. Steel did not feel pain. Ba Xia complained about scratches in her surface, sulked about them. But that was just vanity, which he'd inadvertently taught her. She didn't actually suffer as long as she never broke. Ba Xia. If Nie Ming Tui was the saber, then she was the human. She was the one in the body that was self-destructing. She was the one who was bleeding out of every aperture. She was the one who was screaming. Ba Xia. She shook him off, pushing him firmly back towards the blade and away from the flesh. Steel felt no pain, and she was steel all the way through her soul. A little pain was not going to stop her. She straightened his spine, stood up tall, and bared his teeth at Jing Guangyao, who was even now backing away, his arms around a frantic Nie Huaisang, who did not understand. She pointed Nie Ming Tui at their enemy, their mutual enemy, and he wanted so badly to fly forward, sharp end first, wanted to pierce that traitorous dog through the heart and make sure he would never harm anyone again. He wanted to rend him to pieces with his teeth like a wild dog himself. He wanted to drink his vital energies and purify his innermost soul to send him to his next reincarnation before his soul could even think of lingering. Let him be reborn as a dog, as a snake, as a worm. Let him pay for the wrongs he has committed. No, on second thought, he shouldn't die. He should live. Live and face the penalty for his actions. Let him be cast off from his comfortable life. Let him live forever in seclusion with no friends and no succor. Let him know that all of his ambition had come in the end to nothing. Nie Ming Tui roared in silent fury, and Ba Xia opened his mouth and roared as well. The sound that emerged from his throat was inhuman, the scream of steel scraping steel, a sound no human should ever be able to make. Arga! Jing Guangyao shouted, his eyes all white around the irises. He clearly hadn't anticipated Nie Ming Tui surviving the chi deviation to this point. Arga, come here! Daga has gone into chi deviation and he's trying to kill me! He's not trying to kill you! Nie Huaisang shrieked. She is! And then, as if realizing what he just said, he turned shocked eyes on Jing Guangyao, abrupt realization filling his face. She's trying to kill you, he said dully. Kill you? She only wants to kill evil, to punish wrongdoing. What have you done? In the end, it turned out that Wen Qing's expertise was useful after all. She came to Lan Ling and went to work immediately. But it still took nearly 2 weeks for her to set all of Nie Ming Tui's meridians and spiritual veins back into place, working on each one at a time. The entire process would have been agonizing enough to kill any man, just from the pain alone. It was a good thing that the one undergoing the process was not a man. "So this is weird, right?" Wei Wuxian asked Nie Huaisang, who'd refused to leave his brother's side. He ate and slept on the floor next to the bed where Wen Qing operated. His fingers were clenched around the saber's hilt in silent supplication. "You, Nie, you're not all half-swords, are you?" "Sabers," Nie Huaisang corrected, rubbing his eyes. "And no, it's just my brother. He and Basia have always been very close." "Close," Wei Wuxian echoed. "Close. Yeah, I suppose that's a way to put it. He's literally letting himself be possessed by his own apparently sentient saber right now. I suppose you would need to be close for that." "At least Basia only serves one master," Nie Huaisang said sharply. "Can your tiger seal say the same? Or is that honor reserved for your Suibian, which even now is gathering dust on your shelf, which you will never use again?" Wei Wuxian stopped and grimaced. "I'm being obnoxious. Forgive me." Nie Huaisang waved a hand, dismissing it. "And I'm tired and stressed. Think nothing of it. As long as this works, as long as we can get him back." Wei Wuxian only ever took the briefest glances at the table where Wen Qing operated. He did so now and immediately turned away, shuddering in memory. It was even more gruesome than what he'd endured. "Is he in there, being suppressed by her?" "No, thankfully not," Nie Huaisang said, and tapped the blade of the saber. "He's in here." Wei Wuxian blinked. "He's in the saber?" "He is the saber. They're sort of joined, I think. If they were once separate entities, they're not anymore. The saber and the person are both part of a single body. No, two bodies. Two bodies with two consciousnesses. Most of the time, Daga possesses the human body and Basia the saber. But sometimes they switch, and she takes the body and he the saber. That's what's happening now." "How did that even happen?" Wei Wuxian wanted to know. "It makes my unorthodoxy look almost boring. A heresy, sure, but one that flowed naturally out of how things are typically done. The sequel to a book written in the same style. What he's doing, it isn't even in the same library." "It is for us," Nie Huaisang said with a shrug. "We cultivate saber spirits, like I've explained. This is different, yeah, but on the other hand, he might be the first Nie cultivator in 1,000 years to survive the chi deviation that comes from cultivating the saber spirit." "Probably would have been better to test that theory a few decades later, though, huh?" Nie Huaisang grimaced. "Yes, when I think about what Jing Guangyao nearly did, and I liked him, Wei Xiang. I really did. Daga liked him, and Daga doesn't get close to people. Not easily. It always hurt him what Meng Yao did to him. But he still swore brotherhood with him so he could try to teach him good from evil." He shook his head. "I can't believe you're even considering not executing him," Wei Wuxian said, shaking his head as well. "Is permanent seclusion really going to be enough?" "Well, there's going to be a trial," Nie Huaisang said. "Though it'll be fairly short, given that Daga survived and Wen Qing already indicated that there appears to be the effects of spiritual poison. I would never have thought he'd be using that stupid song to do it, the one Arga taught him so that he and Daga could make up. You're not wrong, Wei Xiang. Seclusion might be too good for the likes of him. But Arga is insisting we give him a chance to explain." "He's good at manipulating emotions," Wei Wuxian said. "Aren't you concerned he'll play on whoever you have as judge?" "Not if they're appropriately objective." Nie Huaisang looked at Wei Wuxian sidelong. "What do you think?"
"Me?"
"Well, you and Jiang Cheng. The Jiang sect is the only one of the great four sects not implicated by all this. Though, I suppose your sister is engaged to Jin Sichuan. Do you think that would be enough to disqualify you?
No, we've never gotten along. I wouldn't be biased.
Which, I mean, I guess that means I could do it?
The saber in Nie Huaisang's hands trembled, moving forward a little as if straining to fly up and go somewhere. Nie Huaisang looked down at it and nodded.
Daga's right. There's something else I should mention. Something we just found out. In the basement of Koi Tower.
In the basement? What did you find?
A boy by the name of Sue Yang, Nie Huaisang said. And he has a very interesting story to tell.